Okie dokie. All right, if you will, turn your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 4, please. Nehemiah chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. Praise the Lord, I'm glad that one day we'll be calling heaven home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just think, throughout eternity, heaven's going to be our home. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll be with the Lord always. Amen. Where he's at, we'll be.
Amen.
Amen. Not ever separated.
Amen.
Amen. I told somebody, I said, when I married my wife, you know, we come as a team, as one.
Amen.
And some said, well, we want you, but we don't want your wife. Well, I'm sorry, you don't get me if you don't take my wife. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, there's some said, we'd like your wife, but we just don't care for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, amen. All right, everybody found your place?
Sure.
All right, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 here this morning. The Bible says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, and your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come once again before thy throne of grace, and dear Father, we come, Lord, thanking you most of all for saving us and giving us everlasting life, for calling us into the ministry, Lord, and so that we can stand and preach the unadulterated word of God. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, now this morning that you'd reach down and touch and move in our midst. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be strong here this morning and moving in our midst. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior today, Lord, that they'll come and receive you as their personal Savior. Lord, we pray for that child of God that might be cold and indifferent, Lord, that you might draw them nigh. Lord, I ask that you supply the need of every heart. I don't know what that need is, but you do. And Lord, we ask that you meet that need today. And Lord, you know my need. I need your touch, need your feeling, need your power. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. And Lord, we ask that you'd hide us behind the cross of Calvary, that we'll not be seen, but that Jesus only be seen and high and lifted up. And Lord, all that you do, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For us in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. Now we find here a situation. First of all, I'd like to say the title of my message is Remember God. Remember God. What Nehemiah said over here in verse 14. He said, not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember God. Hey, listen, sometimes we get in a situation and the battle becomes great. And when it becomes great, then we come to the place and we tend to get our more of our mind on the situation than we do on God. Hey, listen, remember, God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. God knows the trouble in your life. He knows all the dealings that you have to deal with. He knows exactly everything that's going on in your life. Whether you know it or not, He knows it. He knows exactly where you're going. I like what Jesus said. He tells us, He said, if you'll ask... He said, He said, I'll come down and I'll meet your need. He said, ask, and he told us to seek, and he told us to knock. Hey, listen, my friend, I want you to know God wants us to come to Him and remember Him and remember that He is the deliverer of our soul. He's the deliverer for us. Hey, listen, you know that Nehemiah has gone now to Jerusalem to build back the walls of the city and go and build back the temple and all these things. When they get to the place, I mean, there's been years. 70 years has passed by. They've been in Babylon. And listen, all those round about have really rejoiced that the Jews were not there any longer. Or the major Jews, there was a few there, but not many. The biggest majority of those were carried off into other lands. Not only Babylon, but some of the other countries. And so we find that they had been gone. But so now Nehemiah has come back. He's been given authority to come back and rebuild the walls. The walls have been broken down. There's holes in the walls. In those days, they needed those walls around the city to protect the city, or the enemy would come running in or overtake them. I remember when I was in old Jerusalem back many years ago, and I remember walking in through the streets of old Jerusalem. And I remember the walls that had been rebuilt back all around the city. Now in my mind's eye, I can still see the old city of Jerusalem and being there. And the cobblestone streets that we walked on and all those that was out selling their different items and all these things. And I bought a few of those things and brought home back home and give most of them away to other people and things. But anyway, I remember being there. I remember seeing that city and thinking about Nehemiah. When Nehemiah went back to build that back, listen, the enemies of Jerusalem, the enemies of the Jews, they didn't like it. We find here in verses 1 down through verses 13, we find the situation here. We find that there's a man called Sanballat. If you look in verse number 7, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." They were mad about it. They were upset about it. They were upset because the walls were being built back. Hey, do you know what? Those same people today are mad because the people of Israel, the Jewish people, are back in the land again. They're all very upset because now Jerusalem has become the capital of Israel once again. They're all upset because of these things that's going on. I'm excited because of what's going on. When I see these things that are going on, it tells me that the coming of the Lord is really near. In those days, hey, we see everything getting ready for the tribulation. We see there's no signs for the rapture. The signs are for the tribulation. We see them back in their land once again. We see them back in Israel. We see these things that's going on in Israel. They've got all kinds of battles that's going on within, but there's greater battles that's going on without. You know, the Palestinians are desiring to see them pushed into the sea, for them to be destroyed and done away with. They hate the Jews. But listen, but God has said in the last days, and praise God, in the last days, this is talking about the days and hour that we're living in. He said in the last days, these things would be taking place. These things would be happening. And praise God, we see that we're living in a time that is close to the rapture. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. Praise God, Jesus is coming soon. So we see that Sanballat and Tobias and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, all of them were upset because of what was taking place. They were building the walls back. They don't want the walls built back. They were rejoicing because the Jewish people had been dispersed. They were rejoicing because the walls had been torn down. They were rejoicing because the temple is no longer. Listen, there's some people that are rejoicing because of the church and the way the church is going today. It's a shame, folks. It really is a shame. It seems like the only way to build a vast church today is to go along with what the world wants. I remember there's an evangelist who came here. We used to have all-day meetings here at the church back years ago. And I mean, we fed everybody. My wife, she said, I never got to be in the services because I was always fixing meals. Then Amy moved here, and Amy started helping her and helping her cook downstairs. And we fed all the people that came. And we seen a great number of people here from all over, and preachers from all over. And we preachers all during the day. And then Preacher Fry preached every night. And so we had a time of jubilee right here in the church. But listen, I want to tell you that today and hour that we're living in, this old world out here said, we don't want to hear that. We don't want that kind of church that preaches the gospel, preaches Jesus, and Jesus only living right and doing right, walking right, talking right, and all these things. We don't want that kind of church. Yes, but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus has never changed. God has never changed. And God doesn't intend for us to change, amen. He intends for us to stand on the Word of God and preach the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, amen. And praise God, I'm glad Jesus said, yoke is not heavy, you know. He said, my burdens are light. He said, listen, just follow me. Hey, listen, I'm glad that one day I came to Christ and accepted Him as my Savior. I'm glad that Jesus lives in my heart through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that He leads me and guides me and directs me. And when I'm wrong, He chases me. And He tells me that I need to get things right with Him. Hey, listen, praise God, I would take anything for what I have in Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm glad. And another thing is, I don't have to worry about hell. Hell's already been took care of. If you're saved this morning, you don't have to worry about hell. Hell's already been took care of. Amen? Through Jesus Christ, He paid our sin debt. Now we've been set free through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen? And so we don't have that. But listen, the world hated the Jews in that day, and He hates us today. He hates us that stand on the Word of God. It hates us. Brother Jake called me yesterday, and he said, Pastor, he said, I know what you're talking about. He said, they don't want to hear it. That's right, they don't want to hear it. Some will listen. Amen. Praise God. Some will listen. Praise God for Rick, was it? Amen. And praise God, he listened. At least this person is on a way that you could possibly get him to come to Christ and be saved. But listen, the first time that a person hears the gospel, most generally they do not get saved. And so we can't stop there. We must go back. And we must go back. We must tell people. I heard the gospel over and over and over again until that night I got saved and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hey, listen, and other people need to hear it over and over again. Keep giving them tracts. Keep telling them about Jesus. I have to say, until I began to seek to know the Lord, and then I prayed, no one ever knocked on my door. No one ever came to talk to me about receiving Christ. But when I began to talk to the Lord and said, Lord, I know that I need something, but I don't know what I need. I was already going to church. I was already a member and secretary of the board there in the church. But listen, but where I went, they did not preach the gospel. They did not tell me that I needed to get saved. They just said, live a good life, and you be good, and you come to church, and you read your Bible, and You do this and you do that. Give a little money to the church and everything's all right with you. You're all right. Hey, but I wasn't all right. I knew something was missing, amen. And that missing in my life was the Lord Jesus Christ. I needed to be saved. I needed to receive Christ as my Savior. And so I began to talk to the Lord. Well, Lord, tell me what it is. I didn't know what it was. And I said, Lord, help me. He said, two Baptist preachers come by and knocked on my door. I let them in. They come and told me about Jesus. You've heard me tell about this time and time again. Hey, amen. Now, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm a member of such and such church. I didn't ask you that. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? But I happen to be the secretary of the board. But if you died right now would you go to heaven? And you say, I could not answer that question. Well, I'm doing all that I can. But that's not enough. We can't do enough. Hey, listen, it's receiving that free gift. While Jake was teaching this morning, he was talking about salvation. And praise God, there in the Scripture, and it says, the gift of God. The gift of God. Praise God, a gift don't cost you anything. It cost Jesus His life, but it did not cost you and I not one thing. All we had to do is receive it. Amen. Yeah, the world's out here against us and work against us. And, hey, listen, they're going to hell, and they want us to go along with them. Yeah. Hey, the devil's feeding people all kind of lies. Oh, the Bible, oh, that's just a bunch of stories made up of old men back years ago. I've had that told over and over and over again to me. I said, oh, no, this is the inspired Word of God. Amen. It's a funny thing, though, when you tell these people in the world said, well, it's just a book that's written by old men. You know, it's not God's Word. And you know what? I said, well, let me sit down and I'll show you this God's Word. I'll show you. You know where I go? I just take them right to the Jew. And I say, exactly what God told the Jew was going to happen has happened. He said it'd be dispersed, and he was dispersed. He said in the last days it'd be gathered from the four corners of the earth. He's doing that right now. In the presence, He's doing exactly what He said He would do. Amen. He said they'd be back in the land again, and they're back in the land.
Amen.
May 14, 1948, they become a nation for the first time in 2,500 years to be over their own country. And then, of course, when Britain turned it over to them, they didn't think they'd keep it. They thought all those Arabs would destroy them, and that'd be the end of the problem. But praise God, they undermined God. Hey, God had a different solution. And God fought the battle. Just as He fought the battle here as we see in Nehemiah's day. And praise God, He took care of them. And He'll take care of His people there in Israel. One day they'll be born again. Amen. One day a nation come alive once again and be born in a day, and the whole nation will be saved. And praise God, I'm glad that the church. Hey, do you know what's happening to the church? The church is getting like the Jews before God turned away from the Jewish people and turned and began the church, and the day of Pentecost started, and the church was began. Do you realize that they were supposed to reach the Gentile people in that day, and they looked down their noses at those people, and they did not do what God had told them to do? They were to be an example to the world. Do you know we as Christians are supposed to be examples to the world? And the church today is failing in that respect, and is not showing. Hey, listen, it's not standing up. And they're afraid to bow their head and pray in public. They're afraid to hand out a tract to someone that could read that tract and come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're afraid that somebody might think that they're a religious fanatic. Hey, if you go to church, they're going to think you're a religious fanatic anyway. Hey, listen, I like what one man said. I'd rather have a fanatic, no fan at all. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'd just be a fanatic for Jesus, amen. I'd just go ahead and be what He wants me to be. Hey, listen, and forget about what the world thinks. The world's going to think something anyway. We don't want the world to lead and guide and direct us in our mannerism and our lives or anything else. But we find that he says, remember the Lord. So let's remember God. Let me give you these things right quickly and we'll let you go to the house. First of all, in the battles of life, we find there in verse 14. Let me read to you again. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Hey, remember. Hey, listen. God has got something at stake in you and I. We are the children of God, and we just need to look to God and let God do the leading. We need to follow God. We need to remember there is a God in heaven. As Daniel said, there is a God in heaven. I want to tell you about the God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen here in this world. Hey, listen, there's a God in heaven, and He happens to be my Father, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. And Jesus is not only that, but He's also my advocate, pleading my case, that even when I do wrong, He pleads my case and says, Father, He belongs to me. Amen. Amen. He belongs to me. When the battles of life come, hey, listen, if you live very long, you're going to have some battles. You're going to have some battles. I've been in battle for 50 years. Ever since I got saved, I've been in battles. Amen. One battle after another. Yeah. One battle after another. You say, well, why don't you just give it up and throw in the towel? No, I've got Him that is greater than all. Yeah, right. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. 1 John 4:4. Praise God. I'm a victor. I'm on the victory side. Amen. Hey, I don't have to worry about what the devil's going to do. Hey, listen, the devil can't do anything unless God lets him. Remember Job chapter 1 and chapter 2? Hey, listen, the devil could not do one thing until God allowed him to. And God would not allow him to touch Job until God knew what Job would do under the circumstances. Hey, remember Job lost all of his cattle, but Job didn't throw in the towel. He lost all his children. He lost all his wealth. He lost everything that he had. The old devil seen to it, everything was taken away. And I guess one of the greatest things would have been when he lost all his children. What was it, 10? 10 children, I think it was. And he lost all of his children. And it, you know, and his wife just comes up to him. Let me tell you, if anybody can discourage me in this world, there's one person who can discourage me in this world. It's that woman sitting right over there. That's right. When she gets down on me, oh, man, I mean... you can do all you want to me. But let me tell you, but don't let my wife do it. My wife just tears me all to pieces. You see, now, you know. Well, why is that? Because I love her. I care about her. I care what she does. I care what she feels. I care. One of the hardest things was when she told me, she said, I don't know if I could go with you to New England. And I said, Lord, now you've called me and I've surrendered. Now you're going to have to do something with this woman. She said, I'm not willing to leave our home. I mean, we had a home, almost brand new home. I'm not talking about like what we live in now that's a couple hundred years old. I mean, we had a brand new home. Nice property, nice new development and everything. We had a nice place to live. And God says, give it up. And I said, honey, we're gonna get rid of our house. You remember Brother Ellis had come up?
Yes.
Brother Ellis, he talked to preacher friend of mine in Waynesville, North Carolina. He said, if God's called you to go to New England, he said, you go talk to Larry McElhenney in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. So he called me up one day and told me who he was and said, I'd like to talk with you. He said, we're at McDonald's in Lindenville. Would you come up here and talk to me? And so Brendan and I got in the car. We drove up there, went to Lindenville. We sat down there and talked to him. He said, well, he said, I need some information. What should I do? God's is laid on my heart to come to New England as a missionary. What should I do? And I told him what he should do and everything. And I said, don't just come up here and expect to get a job and build a church. I said, go raise support. I said, raise support so that you can be free to do the job that you need to do. And so he said, okay. And I said, another thing, I said, do you have a house, a home? And he said, oh, yes. I said, sell it. He said, now, Pastor, I can't do that. He said, now, I can't sell my house. I said, if you don't sell that house will call you back to North Carolina. I said, you get rid of everything that you got in North Carolina. I said, you lay it all on the line. And I said, you, if God has called you to come to Vermont, he was born in Vermont. He was a Vermonter. And then his family moved to North Carolina. He got saved. And he said, I got a burden for Vermont. And so he came back to Vermont. And I told him, I said, get rid of that house. Amen. He would not do it. Every battle he had, his wife said, I'm going back to North Carolina. We've got a house in North Carolina. I'm going back to North Carolina. And he kept trying to fight the battle. Let me tell you, Brother Ellis fought the battle and tried to stay. Finally, his wife left. And his daughter left. They went back to North Carolina. And he was left alone. And he gave it up and went back. Now, his pastor in Asheville, North Carolina, and I preached there in his church. He had me to come preach at his church. And I went and preached in his church. There was not a young person in the whole church, was there, Brenda? They were all people older than I am. I said, man, there's no future in a church like it. Praise God. I thank God. Hey, listen, folks. I had a pastor from Maine to come and visit us right here in this church. And he, you know what he asked me? He said, how do you get these young people in church? He said, we're over there in Maine. He said, we can't get young people to come to church. He said, we don't have any children, no young people. He said, the only thing we can get is old people. I said, praise God for old people. But listen, we need all ages, amen. Praise God, we need all ages, amen. Hey, listen, there's somebody's got to take our place. Hey, listen, I'm getting old and wore out. Hey, listen, I've got to be... got to have somebody to take my place. And praise God, I hope this is the man. He's got God on him, amen. And but listen, I want to tell you something. We're all going to be replaced one of these days. We need all ages, amen. We need young couples. I tell these young couples, I said, have these children, amen. And some of them laugh about it. No, praise God, God intended for husbands and wives to have children, amen. Raise up children, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember God, remember God's word. Hey, listen, remember what God had to say about it, amen. And praise God, the best thing you can do is raise them up. When Amy was born, we got saved in 1969, and she was born in 1970. Exactly 1 year after we got saved. And when she was born, she's like that little baby kid. And I'll never forget. I took care of her and had her in my arms and I was nurturing her, and Brenda's gone to her, I think it was a grandmother or grandfather's funeral. And I mean, she's just a few days old. She's just a few days old. Just a little old bitty thing, like kids. She's a little old bitty thing. And God laid on my heart, and I said, God, thank you for this precious baby. Amen. Thank you for this precious child. And I said, God, I promise you, with all my being, I'll raise this child up to know you.
Amen.
I'll raise her up to know you. And I held her up to God. I said, God, you give her to me, and now I give her to you.
Amen. That's good.
And she is raised up in church. Matter of fact, most of her life I've been her pastor. When we came up here, and she's in North Carolina, and she's visited several churches. Well, why hadn't you joined the church? Why hadn't you joined the church? She said, Dad, I hadn't found anybody to preach like you do. No. She said unto me all these years, you know, and she's wanting another like her dad, you see. But I want to tell you something. Listen, but remember God. And remember God's word. And do what God says about it. Don't forget, I got to get on. Hey, in the night seasons, we find in Psalms 63 and verse number 6, he says this, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Amen. In night seasons, when the night seasons come, when the darkness comes around and it covers you around and you can't see. You just can't see the light. And you can't see which way to go, what direction. Many times I've made this statement. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Wait upon the Lord. Many times the Bible tells, wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will give you the answer that you need.
Amen.
Don't jump the gun.
Amen.
Don't go ahead of God. But you wait till God gives you the answer. Amen. I remember Dr. Hiles pleading with his dad, trying to get his dad to come to church. And he witnessed to him, tried to get him saved. And he's supposed to go by and pick his dad up to take him to church when he's pastoring in Texas. And he gets there to pick his dad up, and his dad had a heart attack and died. And he wept and cried. He said, with all my being, I tried everywhere in the world to get my dad saved. And now he's died, gone out into eternity, lost and undone without God. And it just destroyed Dr. Hiles. And he went to the grave after they buried his dad. And he laid down on the grave. And this is what he did. He said, God, I'm not going to get up until you empower me. He said, until your power is placed on me, I'll die right here on this grave. I'm not getting up until you give me the power when I preach, that I preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. He laid there for days. His deacons come to him. He said, Brother, how are you going to die? You've got to eat. He says, no. And he wept and cried on his dad's grave. He said, until God, you give me that power, I'm not going to get up. I'll just die right here. Because without the power of God, I'm useless and I'm helpless. And I could do nothing without the power of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God came strong upon Dr. Hiles. And after days of agonizing and talking to the Lord. No, he had the Holy Ghost. He didn't receive the Holy Ghost. No, he already had the Holy Ghost. But he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, there's a difference in having the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Huh. I've got a book at home, Brother Jake. And it's about it's about there in Chicago and the pastor there, D.O. Moody. And these women came up to D.O. Moody and said, we're praying that God would engulf you with his power. And he said, I thought I had the power.
Amen.
He said, I was preaching and souls were being saved. He said, but yet you don't have the power. You just don't have the power. You need to have that power.
Amen.
And he knew what he was talking about. But he finally came to the place. And I hope I've got this right. But he was standing on the street corner there in Chicago. And the Holy Spirit of God came upon him and the holy power of God came upon him. And he said, now I know what them ladies are talking about.
Amen.
And over 1 million people came to know Christ through D.L. Moody. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. Without God, we can do nothing. We need to remember God. He's our everything. Every time I stand to preach behind this pulpit, I ask for God's power because I can do nothing. I'm helpless and hopeless without God. But with God, I can do all things. Amen. Amen. Now, we need God in the night seasons when it looks bleak and dreary. We need early in life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1. Listen to what he says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Hey, don't wait till you get old. Some people say, well, when I get old and decrepit and I can't do anything anymore, then I'll get saved. Now turn my life over to God then. Give your life young when you're young. Give yourself to God while you're young. Remember God while you're young. Give yourself to God and walk after God. Amen. While you're early in life. I wish I got saved and had been brought up in church. Hey, listen, we look around here and we see these children. And I'm sure that some of these children don't realize the blessings that are placed upon them to be in the house of God and be under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't even realize what it's all about. Hey, listen, there's people out there that's never heard the gospel, but you've heard the gospel. Amen. But they have never heard. Yeah. Right here in St. Johnsbury, they've never heard. Yeah. Some of them won't hear, but some of them will hear.
Amen.
I remember for a long time I asked God, I said, God, why in the world did you send me to St. Johnsbury? I said, they don't want it here. And finally, God spoke to me. He says, for witness unto them. I said, but God, we're just a little old small church. Oh, how we'd love to see these pews full. But he said, but remember those that are there.
Amen.
Not those that's not there. Remember those that are there. We have to remember that. That's what it's all about. It's not about the missing. Hey, listen, it's about those that are here, amen. And praise God that we might encourage you and help you and help you along and feed you the precious Word of God that you might grow in the Lord. And when the night seasons comes and when the battles of life comes and all these horrible things come upon you, you'll know to remember the Lord. Remember Him. Put your faith in Him. Look to Him and pray to Him and ask for His deliverance.
Amen.
Look at old Jonah in the time of trouble. In Jonah chapter 2, verse number 7. Now I want you to think about this. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know where He's at? He's inside the belly of a whale. I remember many years ago, I was listening to a man on the radio, and he was preaching about Jonah. He said, well, they say it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man. He said, I know that's a lie. He said, because I heard of this man, and he said, I went to see him. And he had been swallowed by a whale. And the whale had beached itself in California and throwed the man up. And when the man got out of the belly of the whale, he was burnt from the acids of the stomach of the whale trying to digest him. Now, do you get the picture? When he goes into Nineveh and began to preach, those people, buddy, let me tell you, they sat down in sackcloth and ashes, and they was willing to turn their life over. Can you just realize what Jonah looked like? He said, if God will do that for him and he's one of their own, what will he do to us? And see, God was going to destroy Nineveh. If, hey, listen, every one of them would have been slaughtered and killed by God, and it all would wound up in hell. Oh, friend, but they repented.
Yeah, amen.
Can you imagine 120,000 people repenting, getting right with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now he remembered God while he was there in the belly of the whale. He remembered God when he was in his situation. He remembered God when it looked like there was no way out. Listen, there's sometimes in your life that there's going to look like that there's no way out. Remember God. God has got a door to open for you. And then last in closing, went away from home. We see in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, we find Ezekiel has been carried off into Babylon. Now he's been taken as a slave, and he's been taken to Babylon, and now he's in Babylon. He could have just said, well, I'm just going to go along with this crowd. I'm just going to do whatever they want me to do. I'm just going to forget about the priesthood, forget about God, forget about everything, and I'm just going to just do what they want me to do. I didn't ask to come here. I didn't want to be here. Have you ever been to that place and, well, I never asked for this, and God put me right in the middle of it? I was sitting in a Sunday school class in Thomaston, Georgia. My brother sitting beside me, and there's another man sitting beside him. The Sunday school teacher gets up and he reads the scripture out of the King James Bible. And the man told me, he said, I'm Moses, but my wife is, my mind's went blank. What's his name? Aaron. I didn't know what he was talking. Honestly, it just did not occur to me what he was even talking about. But he read from King James Bible, and then he sat down. His wife stood up with something like Good News for Modern Man or something or another, and started reading the scripture out of that. And this man, he stops there. He said, can I ask you a question? I'm sitting there, and Brenda's punching me in the leg. She's on the other side. She's pumping, don't you say anything. Don't you say anything. You be quiet. You know, don't you open your mouth. Don't you say anything. Just kept on punching. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't start anything. I said, I'm not going to say anything. This guy says to the teacher, he said, why is it that you, teacher, read from the King James and then your wife reads from another version of the Bible? He said, we think, you know, this Bible version that she uses, people can understand it better than the King James and all like that. He said, well, we got a preacher here. He said, well, what do you think about it, preacher? I said, well, I'd rather not say. And she speaks up. No, she speaks up. She says, yes, go ahead, preacher. Said, tell us, what do you think about it? Oh, me. I know it's going to cause a problem, but I cannot lie.
Amen.
And so I told her exactly what I thought and what I thought about the version that she used and how it was against God and it was not the Word of God and all like that. And oh boy, it's terrible. What so happened, I didn't know it, but the preacher and the deacon was sitting right outside the door, heard everything went on.
Amen.
My dad had already told me, he said, now, son, said, preacher told me he wanted you to preach at the church today. And so after Sunday school, we went in there, and the preacher never did call on me to preach. And so, that's fine. I didn't come down here to preach to start with. And so, I didn't know. You know, he never said anything to me. I didn't say anything to him. We shook hands and went on out the door. That afternoon, he had a heart attack, wound up in the hospital. My dad went to see him, and we'd already left to go back to North Carolina, headed up the road, my dad called me and told me, he said, I went to see the preacher and said, the preacher told me, he said, the next time you come down here, son, he said, God had told him to let you preach. He said, because of what happened in that Sunday school class, and he said, what you said was right. He said, but because of that issue, he said, I didn't want to make a stand. And he said, I want you to know right now, he said, I'm in the hospital because I wouldn't obey God. The next time I went down there, I didn't have to wait to get a word from my father. He called up and he said, Brother Larry, would you preach at the church this Sunday?
Amen.
He said, we'd love to have you to preach at the church this Sunday. And so I preached there at the church, and I preached out of the King James Bible. Amen.
Amen.
I give them the word of God, and we preached, and we had a hallelujah time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, folks, remember God.
Amen. Yes.
Remember God.
Good.
There is a God in heaven.
Amen.
And he cares about you. He cares where you're at. He cares what you're going through. And he's going to see you through. I don't care what kind of situation it is. Brother Jake was talking about needing a house. You know, they need a house to move into and all this stuff. Hey, God knows exactly where he's going to live. And God's got the place for him at the right time. He's got the right place for him. Just wait upon the Lord. Some of you are here and you're wondering what to do about this situation or that situation. Hey, I want you to know, God already knows what he's going to do. Just trust God and wait upon the Lord. Let God open the door and let God take care of the situation. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He loves you. He cares about you. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you.
Amen.
Let's stand, please. Brother Jake, would you come?